Father, we thank you so much that you are a living and speaking God. And we praise you, Father, that you've gathered us here this morning because you have a message for each and every one of us. And Father, we lay aside distraction. Father, we give our minds and our hearts over to you now so that we might hear what you're saying. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, your word may land and find a home in our hearts that transforms the way that we live. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, every December, and it's round about that time of year, isn't it? Many of us will drink the same cocktail of joy and horror. What is that cocktail, I hear you ask in your minds? Home Alone. Did anybody watch Home Alone over the Christmas period? Yeah, loads of hands. Of course you did. It's just an amazing film, isn't it? Joy, because it is one of the great Christmas films. Perhaps the great Christmas film. Horror, because, let's be honest, Kevin's parents. Dear, oh dear. Right? Not once, but 2 years running, they lose Kevin. And I asked myself when I watched that film, I think, you know, could that ever happen to us, Lucy? Could that ever happen to you? And who can fail to see the similarities between Home Alone and the reading that Geraldine has just brought for us? In fact, as Geraldine was reading these words from the Gospel of Luke, maybe that kind of little orchestra in your mind was humming to itself, you know, right? Jesus, home alone, lost in Jerusalem. And perhaps as Geraldine was reading, you were also thinking to yourself, what terrible parents, right? Travelling for a whole day. That's what we read in the passage, isn't it? Travelling for a whole day without realising that they don't have their 12-year-old son with them. What is going on here? Is this an example of terrible parenting like we see in Home Alone 1 and 2? Well, let me give you a bit of context, and then you can make up your own mind. I'll give you a clue. I don't think so. But let me give you a bit of context. You can make up your own mind, as I say. So verse 41, if you've got it in front of you, reads like this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem to the festival of Passover, a yearly celebration, a feast not unlike what we do over Christmas. Huge. Everybody gathers together. Except this was a feast that was celebrated in one particular place. In order to get there, you had to travel to join in the festivities. Now, when I travel to a place with my family, we travel in my car. I can only fit 7 people in there. But when you think of this journey, don't think of Jesus' family, Mary, Joseph and Jesus, travelling solo. That's not the kind of journey that it is. Think more like a giant family reunion on wheels. That's what it was. Right? Aunts and uncles and second cousins thrice removed. This is basically the whole town, right? All of Jesus' relatives, all of his social circle travelling together in a giant, great, big caravan. That's how it would have worked. With the women and children at the front and the men at the back talking about, you know, the fantasy football or whatever it was. Some things never change, do they? It's the truth. Now, we're told that Jesus, he's 12 years old here in this episode in his life. And if you're 12 years old and you're a boy at that time, you are right on the cusp of Jewish manhood. You're at that kind of liminal stage. You're just about to make that transition. And so you can just imagine what happened here, can't you? Right? Jesus, he begins his journey traveling to the feast, and it's a feast that lasts for 7 days in Jerusalem. He begins the journey to the feast with the women and children at the front. Yeah. But on the way back, has he made this transition into manhood or hasn't he? I mean, who knows? you can see what might have happened, can't you? You can imagine Joseph saying to Mary, I thought he was with you. Yeah? And Mary responding, I thought he was with you. Yeah? Back and forthing in that kind of way. You know, couples, we all experience those sorts of moments, don't we? You can see where some confusion might have set in. But the thing about this passage is, the story isn't really about Mary and Joseph. It isn't really about parenting failure. What this story is really about is about the kind of person that Jesus was growing up to be. And the example that sets for us as his followers, as his disciples. Now look, we talk a lot about baby Jesus, don't we? Particularly at this time of year. We've had a whole month of talking pretty much exclusively about that. We talk also lots about Jesus as a grown-up, don't we? But do you ever wonder what Jesus was like as a teen? Yeah, what was he like as a young lad growing up? Well, here, this is the only real glimpse that we get into the kind of young lad that Jesus was. We get clues here, don't we? But did you notice that the clues we're given about what he's like, what makes him tick, what drives him, they're clues that are given to us when his parents aren't there. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, young people in the building this morning, who knows that you only show your true colours, don't you? When your parents aren't around. It's true, isn't it? When they're not there to guide you, to steer you, to tell you how to be. This is Jesus here showing us his true colours, what he's really like as a young person. So, what was Jesus like? Two clues. Clue number one is in where Mary and Joseph find him. So if you look with me at verse 45. Yeah, they run around Jerusalem trying to find Jesus. They don't find him in the mall. They don't find him in the arcade. They don't find him in the playground. They find Jesus in the temple. Right, Jesus is own heart's desire, not because Mary and Joseph force him. His own priority is to be in the place where God is worshipped. His own heart is to be there discussing his word, in the place where his word is loved. Yeah? To follow Jesus is to love his word. To follow Jesus is to love gathering with others for worship. That's what we see here. What was Jesus like? Clue number two. We see it in what Jesus says to his parents. Now look, Jesus' words here, they're not just any old words. They're really important because these are the first recorded words that we have of Jesus. Right? So they must be important. They must be weighty. Verse 49, why were you searching for me, he says. Didn't you know that I had to be at my father's house? It's like the Christmas tree in Central Park in Home Alone 2, isn't it? Mum should have known that that's where Kevin was going to be. You know the scene I'm talking about. But if you look at the passage here, you'll see a little footnote there. And if you look at the bottom of the page, another possible reading is, didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business? That is who Jesus is. That is his priority. That is why Jesus wakes up in the morning, even as a boy, to be about the father's business. He has come to do his will, to do the will of the one who sent him. You see, what that's saying to us is that Jesus, even at a young age, he knows why he is here. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you are here on this earth? And look, let me speak to Let me speak to the young among us in particular. Especially if you've grown up in church, actually. Because you've got the biggest privilege in the world, right? To have grown up in church, under the sound of the gospel, you've got parents or a parent who wants you to know Jesus. But you know what? There has to come a time in which your faith is bigger than the gaze of your parents. Right? There has to come a time in which this is your faith. In which God is not just the Father, but he is my Father. This is my faith. Are you like the young Jesus? Do you know why you're here? Because look, it doesn't matter what age you are, you have a purpose in your life. God has given you 2025 for a reason. And look, it's good to be popular, it's good to have nice clothes, it's good to get good grades. You know, all these things are good, go for it, yeah? But we are here, the believer in Christ is here, to be about the Father's business. To live for God. That's why you're here, if you're a follower of Jesus. And you are not too young to do that, whatever age you are. And you're not too old to do that either. What evidence is there in my life that I am living for God? And parents, I see a few parents here in the room this morning. We identify a bit here, don't we, with Mary and Joseph's panic? Because you can imagine it, can't you? Them turning the whole city upside down, looking for Jesus. Now look, put your hand up this morning if as a parent, you're a parent, right? And you never ever worry or are fearful about your children. It comes with the territory, doesn't it? Fear and worry and anxiety. And let's be honest, they are the thing that keep us up at night most often. It's true, isn't it? Mistakes that I've made as a parent, they worry me. The things that I know that I can't protect my children from, they worry me. They really do. Because I know there are so many. There are so many things out there that I am utterly powerless to protect my children from. And they worry me. You know, somewhere out there, there's a mum whose child is being bullied. Right? And they come home every day from school crying. And that mum doesn't know what to do. She feels powerless. She doesn't know whether to pull the child out of school. She doesn't know whether to go and speak to the head teacher. She doesn't know what to do. Powerlessness. There's a father whose precious daughter is going through a messy divorce. He has no idea what to do. We feel so powerless, don't we, as parents? Because we know there are so many things that we can't protect our children from. We want to wrap them up in cotton wool, don't we? But we know we can't. We know we can't. Last week we looked, if you were here at the joint church service with St. Michael's, we looked at baby Jesus presented in the temple, didn't we? Baby Jesus dedicated to God according to the law of the Lord. And it's the passage just above the one that we're looking at this morning. And the thing about that is that Jewish parents, what they do is they bring their firstborn son to the temple to dedicate them to God, to say, Lord, he is yours. I'm handing him over to you. And it was just the firstborn child. But look, it wasn't only the firstborn child, because the firstborn child is kind of representative of all of your children. In fact, the firstborn child is representative of everything that is most precious to you. As you bring that child to God, what you're saying is that everything that is precious to me, I'm handing it over to you, Lord. Let it be yours. Can you think about what that means? You're saying, Lord, I give you the most precious thing that I have because I know that I'm not always going to be able to protect them. I know there are things that I can't shield them from. But I know that there is one to whom I can entrust my children. And you're saying in that moment, you're saying, Lord, you are his father. Lord, you are her father. They are yours. And if you brought a child to baptism, that's what you did. If you had your child dedicated, that's what you did, isn't it? You said, Lord, they're yours. I'm handing them over to you. And friends, I know that there are going to be many this morning who are anxious about a child or a grandchild. That daughter who's estranged, you know, whose life is falling to pieces. Remember that you placed her in God's hands. That son who's battling addiction. Remember that God is his father. Right? And God will guide him through the valley. Yeah? Being a parent is an anxious business. You know, fear and anxiety comes with the territory. And Mary and Joseph, they weren't immune from that. You know, Mary and Joseph, they are learning that lesson here in this passage, aren't they? Now, look, obviously Jesus, he's God's son in a unique way. Mary and Joseph, they were stewards of Jesus in a unique way. But they needed to know, and they learned here, that God is the father of Jesus, and he is the one who is steering Jesus' life. It was going to be hard for Jesus. Boy, was it going to be hard. Of course it was. But he was the one, God was the one to whom their son Jesus really belonged. He was in God's hands, and they needed to know that they could hand him over to God. And so friends, if you're here this morning, you've entrusted a child to God. You've given them over to him. However many years ago it was, you can trust in God. Yes, even with him. Yes, even with her. You can trust God. We read at the end of the passage, just to close up, that Mary, she treasured up all these things in her heart, we read. And it's easy, isn't it, for gospel truths and the promises of God to just fly in one ear and out the other. But we see here in Mary, no, she treasures this lesson. She keeps hold of it. She hides it deep in here. She gives it pride of place. She makes it hers. And so look, in a moment's quiet now with me, why don't we spend a moment thinking about what has God spoken to me this morning? What truths is he communicating to me? What promises is he making to me? And treasuring those truths in our hearts, storing them deep in here, saying, look, I'm going to hold on to this. This is mine by the Spirit's help. So why don't you join me in a moment? Let's just close our eyes. And then I'll close in prayer. Father, your faithfulness and your goodness is to 1,000 generations. And Lord, you promise to be our God and the God of our children. And Father, we praise you that we can trust you with that which is most precious to us. And Father, there are those among us who are anxious, who are fearful, who feel powerless, who don't know what the future holds. And Lord, we hold fast to these precious promises. that which we have entrusted to you, you are faithful and true. That you do not let us down. You do not fail those who love you. And so, Father, this morning, those fears, anxieties, whatever it is that we're holding on to, Lord, we hand it over to you as to a good Father, as to one who loves us, as to one who loves those who are in our hearts this morning. Whether they're children or parents or neighbours, Father, we know that you are good. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking these truths to our hearts. May they find a home. And may we treasure them with your Spirit's help. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.